Now watch this turn. Indicator left down the slope. What a shot. What a shot, is it? Oh, would you believe that? Rory McIlroy. What a round of golf. It's one outside the Augusta course record.
Good evening, Golf DFS fans. Welcome back to the PFD show. You are joined, as always, by your host, Nick of Wigan. And we've also got Mr. Mark Ferguson on the show and Mr. Jack Humphrey. Jack, I believe you met somewhat of a celebrity over the weekend.
Did I?
That's what I heard. Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe I met the celebrity.
Yeah, I think you probably did, to be honest, you know. So yeah. No, it was good fun. We enjoyed the baseball, didn't we? So.
Yeah, it was good. Nice change of scenery. Being down in the big smoke. The air was thick with humidity. And I completely made a cock-up of the whole weekend. Firstly, got the day wrong. You know this story, Jack. Firstly, got the day wrong that the baseball was even on. Secondly, got the time wrong of when the game was actually starting. Landed back up north at 2 a.m. So that was good. Good fun. But yeah, me and Jack, for anyone who doesn't know, we rendezvoused for the first time over the weekend. And Jack is as big a deal as you think he is.
Jack had about 7 points by bigger. The time he'd met you. But yeah, it was great.
Maybe even bigger. Mark, good weekend for you? No celebrities? Or...
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I didn't meet you two. So
you're saving that for the next weekend.
I'm saving next week when I'm meeting Jack at the UK FFC. And even though, Nick, I've known you longer, we still have not even got close to meeting. I had a good weekend. Did very well last weekend. Again, all plays that we talked about on the show or in the newsletter, etc., etc. We keep saying it every week. It's getting boring now, isn't it? But just telling people this.
Hi, Kev. Just saying hello.
We might as well talk about the success of last week then with the newsletter and the numerous hits once again of things that went right. So, Mark, I think your cut makers. Did you go 4 from 4 on your cut makers again?
Yeah, third week in a row. 4 from 4, and you would have had over, I think you had about 15 and a half to spend after those four, because as I stress, it's very easy to pick the most expensive players, but we don't do that. Literally giving you a foundation for a lineup, it's smashed double up lines, etc., etc. So, yeah.
Your core as well, Jack, another good week.
I've released two cores last week because I've obviously changed my little approach up to the newsletter. Unfortunately, Siwoo Kim let one down, which was the cash core, and then which didn't really matter actually because I still managed to cash in a couple of double ups. I did have a bad week all round, but I did in a couple of the double up contests that I entered, I got a little bit of money back. Wasn't a lot, but John Rahm let me down. If John, I'll tell you what, if he had made the cut, and sort of contended over the week, well, not contended, but been around the top 15, I would have been very live last weekend. It was a, it was very close. I wouldn't have changed the way I approached last week at all. I thought John Rahm would come in the lowest owned in that region, and he did. So yeah, I wouldn't have changed it. And that was his first missed cut since the 2021 Fortinet Championship. So, I mean, he's been on a tear up. So, I can forgive him. He's not let me down all year. Perhaps I should have known better because he does hate birdie fests, but, he's probably like me in that way, in many regards. So, unfortunately, we are now coming into a stretch of golf that I do not like. We've obviously got two Lynx events coming up, which I do like, but everything around it at the minute, I won't be enjoying the stretch of golf now. I've probably had my best part of the year for golf, like viewership-wise, but there's still money to be made. So we'll go at it again. I'm changing things up a little bit this week, which both of you two know about. I need to, really, because I've said it many times on this pod and show that I do tend to struggle at the birdie fest for some reason. The way that my normal approach that's very successful for three quarters of the year doesn't seem to do very well at these silly birdie fest events. So I need to change something, and I'm going to be doing that this week.
And for me, another, well, four from four through on the Paddy Power, not on the, got close to competing when it was all said and done, but Fitzpatrick through the cut line, Ekrop had a, you know, for his price, T24, can't complain at that finish at all. And then Shane Lowry and Xander Schauffele both 14 under, good enough for T19. So if you followed that last week, that's 66% of your lineup straight away that would have been through the cut. So, yeah, another good week for us then. If you're not already subscribed, go ahead and subscribe the newsletter. Everything should be hitting the inbox at some point tomorrow. So go and get yourselves subscribed. And a reminder as well that this pod is not only video anymore, like Charlie FM coming in your ears as it used to be. We are now also on all major podcast apps as well, Apple, Spotify, all of them. So go and check us out that way as well. Travelers, before we do move on to this week, thoughts on the Travelers last week, Jack? Another one that you weren't too fond of, or...?
I don't think that course has a place on the PGA Tour just due to the size of it. I'm not going to moan. People know my feelings on things like that. It's, I don't enjoy it. 6,800-yard course shouldn't be on the PGA Tour, really, should it? And then what sort of makes me laugh is that the people that do like those events want to roll the ball back, but you want to play on a golf course that size. I don't get it. I just don't enjoy them events. So, yeah, it's not a golf course I like, but it's there at the minute. It shouldn't be a designated event either. I don't know why that was a designated event. Very weird. But hey-ho.
Mark, as well, your moment in the spotlight. You took down the horse league, didn't you?
We've actually got a thing with this because Kurt has told me to give Mark the win at the US Open as well. So it could be controversial, this Nick, though, because if I do give him the win there, and he obviously won last week, it's going to draw him level with you on seven wins. So
what's the US Open business about? Why are we giving wins out? What's going on?
I'm only relaying the message. I didn't say, I said I would have to speak to the man from Wigan. This is what I said. So,
did you win, Mark?
I didn't. By the way, I didn't ask for this. Kurt suggested this. This has nothing to do with me.
I'll be having words with Kurt when he's back.
Well, Kev's got it right there. So if you're not first, you're last.
I'd be stitched up here. Been well and truly stitched up. I didn't even suggest it.
Maybe we give him half a win.
Half it. Half the hole. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Even second is first in the line of losers. So yeah.
Well, I think if Solly March still didn't get that goal or assist or whatever it was, then we probably can't change the results here, can we? I mean, it's been a precedent set.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. So yeah. Let's talk this week then. So we
just before we do move on, Nick, if you're not in the Discord of the Ibar, jump in there, give out showdown calls pretty much every round now. We absolutely smashed the Saturday call. Justin Thomas in it, just went ham on the Saturday. I didn't get back until sort of midnight from the baseball myself. So, once I got back and saw it, I was like, oh, wow. So thankfully, Showdown actually sort of saved my week a little bit last week. But if you're not in the Discord, jump in there, because I just throw a core in there every day. There is, and I do give reasons behind the players that I'm picking. It's a very short reason, but yeah, jump in there. It's good fun.
I just post a picture of Thiegler. As my core every Showdown day, basically. And he was awful last week. He didn't win anything Showdown-wise for anybody, so...
No, I jumped off him pretty quick, actually. I think I had him in the core on the first round, and then I jumped off him pretty quick after that. She's in a lot of Carson Young and Callum Tarrant as well last week, and they were going to her as well, so...
The best Young.
Yes. Yes, Kev, the Listener League is live. It's in the description of the video on YouTube. If you can't find it there, head over to the PFD show on Twitter, and it's all up there. I'm waiting for them to release the British Masters. We'll have a contest for that as well this week, because that's going to be pretty cool over here. Big deal. I'm sure Nick will get involved in that. Some good golf this week as well. Valderrama, Live Golf, Valderrama. That's a great golf course. I'll probably watch a lot more of that this week than I will the PGA Tour. But all good.
Did we pay Kev to ask that question? It seemed like it led... No, did you pay Kev to ask that question? Because it felt like you had the answer ready to go.
No, I'm just ready. I'm always ready, Mark. I'm a big deal. So, as Nick knows.
Mark, I can't move on without questioning how you've just pronounced Thiegler.
I know. Well, I heard this... I did this last week in the show as well. I heard it somewhere else. Somebody pronounced it... I think it was Kenny Kim on the Old Degenerates podcast. He called him Thiegler. And you know I like to mispronounce a player's name. There might be a couple tonight, to be perfectly honest. And this just stuck with me. Thiegler.
Like it. Right, let's move on then to this week. Enough of last week. Let's talk this week. So we're heading over to Detroit, Michigan this week for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Jack, your usual course breakdown?
It's going to be very short this week, because it's not a particularly great course, to be fair. It's not really a lot to talk about it. But we are headed to the Rocket Mortgage Classic, normally played a little bit later on in the year. I think this has actually switched places with the 3M Open this year on the schedule. I mean, there's nothing in it. It's a matter of weeks. So I don't think it's going to play any difference. Right? It normally plays. There has been a lot of rain in the area, apparently. So the course is going to be wet, but that's usual for this area. It gets a lot of rain. So the course is always wet here. But Detroit Golf Club in Detroit, Michigan. It's a Donald Ross design in 1916. It's a par 72, 7,370 yards long. Water comes into play on one hole here. The fairways are a mix of bent grass and poa. The rough is bluegrass. They've grown up a little bit this week. It's up to 4 inches. But the fairways are pretty wide here. So you're going to have to be doing something to find that rough this week. The greens are poa mixed with bent grass as well. You've got the tree-lined fairways, but as I've mentioned, they're pretty wide. So, again, you're going to have to be doing something pretty wild off the tee to be getting yourself into trouble with these tree-lined fairways this week. The greens do feature some back-to-front slopes with some interesting runoff areas. Every single hole in this course features over a 12% birdie rate. So that tells you what we're going to be expecting this week. It's going to be very easy. We've got four par fives here. Lots of eagle chances are going to be happening around them. Four par threes and 10 par fours. Basically, don't do the damage on the par three, any damage on the par threes, and you should be coming in quite nice here. I think the cut's going to be around about four under, and the winning score is going to be about 24 under this week, unfortunately. But yeah, that's all I've got on it. It's not an interesting course, really.
Well, you made it interesting enough. So golf in a big old field then this week, not much to it, just a little puddle and that's it. Mark, let's have a look at your course key stats then this week.
Well, I'm very excited for this low scoring event. I'm fed up of all of these rubbish fantasy scores of like 90 winning it and stuff. I'd give you 150 points anytime.
Well, anyway, we win. We have a very high success rate at these hard events. I don't know why you do enjoy this type of event, but
it's just the numbers. I just prefer the bigger numbers. Anyway, a little bit different this week, actually. Weighted strokes gained off the tee, approach and tee to green, driving distance, done easy course, stroke gain, birdie or betters gained, greens gained, fantasy points gained, and bonus putting. A lot of emphasis on basically scoring.
Jack, any different for you?
Not really, but as I mentioned, I've changed things up this week. Mine is going to 12 rounds this week on these birdie fests. I want to be looking at who's just playing well at the minute, and that's it, really. Driving distance, key here. It is a fairly long course, but it's not challenging anyway. But strokes gained approach, strokes gained putting on bent power greens, and then I've got putting inside 10 feet, the one we always look at. Strokes gained total and easy scoring conditions. Birdies are better gained, and then a couple of par five scoring as well, and a couple of comp courses I'm looking at, Detroit Golf Club and TPC Deer Run, where they host the ATT Byron Nelson. So that's it. Very, very basic model for me this week. Set over 12 rounds. I just want the best players, the best putters. That's it.
Yeah, same for me, really, to be honest. I'm just driving distance. I've got a little bit of approach, but nowhere near as weighted as it normally is for me. And then it is pretty much just exactly the same strokes gained on bent / power inside 10 feet. Opportunities gained, I've thrown in there as well. Birdies are better. I've thrown in a little bit of fantasy scoring into that because it's going to be a high scorer this week. That is pretty much it. So very similar for us all. So this is going to be a bit of a boring show because we're all going to like the same players.
See, so Kev gets it there. he gets it.
Yeah. Like seeing the pros struggle. It makes me relate to them because that's just me on a normal course. So nice to see them struggling as well. Right, let's have a look at the 10K guys, first of all. So Tony Finau finds himself the most expensive player this week at 10,900. Morikawa at second, 10,600. Ricky Fowler, 10,400. Max Homa, 10,200. And Justin Thomas, 10,000. Jack, I'll come to you first on this. Your pick from the 10K range?
Completely fading it.
Anyone, if anyone.
I'm completely fading this range this week.
Preach.
Well, Tony Finau is losing 1.31 strokes putting over his last 12 rounds. He's in really bad form as well, Tony Finau. Like finishing at the back end of tournaments, missed cuts. I know he won this event last year, but no interest in Tony Finau. Colin Morikawa, I don't have a clue what this guy is doing at the minute. He'll do well. He'll turn up at one event, finish like top 15. Then he'll miss the cut. That was a brutal missed cut last week. He had a brutal opening round there. He was over par. Fought back in the second round. So fair play to him there. But I can't get Colin Morikawa right. I'm just no interest there. Ricky Fowler's a cash play for me. If you want to play me cash, that's totally fine. He's played very well. Ranks eighth in my model this week, Ricky Fowler. So I don't mind him for cash games. Play, you know, he's in... he's in decent form, probably going to win soon. Homer's gone off the boil massively. I can't get to him. I've just put a bet on him because he was quite a good number, but that's about it. JT showed up over the weekend last week, but I'm still worried that he hasn't fixed everything. Did lead the field in strokes gained approach last week, though. So that was good to see from JT. But yeah, I'm just going to completely fade this range. I have no interest in it at all.
Mark, is that the same for you?
Sort of. So I would either play none of them in the lineup or I'd play two of them in the lineup. But I don't think I'd be playing one of them from a game theory point of view. And at the moment, it looks like Morikawa and Homer are going to be the lowest owned, so they'd be the two I'd be tempted to play. I think I'm going to, with the optimizer, I'm going to make a load of lineups where it's just choosing any two. But that's going to be only half of my lineups. There's nothing really to add there. Jack hasn't already. One thing I'll just say about Max Homer going for him, though, is he's second in bonus putting over the last 32 rounds, which is either inside of 5 or 20 foot and above. And he's second at the moment. So I know putting is going to be a putting contest, as Jack keeps telling me. So he actually is pretty good in the putting. But yeah, I can happily fade them as well. Actually, in the lineup for our host league, I faded them. So,
Interesting. For me, if I was to pick anyone, I would probably go with none. literally none. I'm with you, Jack. I'm actually just going to fade this range. I agree, the Fowler shout, if you're going to play cash.
Yeah.
Don't mind that at all. Ownership is going to be quite high, I would think, on Ricky Fowler. But the form backs it up, and he's gained strokes in his last two events as well, with the putter, which, you know, like that. To be honest, he's been really consistent with his putter since pretty much the beginning of the year. He's only lost strokes in the odd event here and there, but even when he has, he's still had reasonable finishes, and it's not been catastrophic loss. It's not been like Scottie Scheffler style putting. Though no thingy to Scotty there. He seems to keep grinding out top fives regardless. But yeah, I like what I'm seeing from Fowler. That would be my pick if I was just going cash. But I'm with you. I'm just going to fade this range this week. And we've done this before with these kind of tournaments. I don't think this is a great field. There's some good players in it, but you kind of get out of the 9K range and it starts getting really ropey quite fast. And it's those events that we've looked at this year and said, well, let's get a bit different with our lineups. And I think that's the way I'm going to approach it, certainly in GPP this week.
Like you say there, like we've been very consistent in the way we sort of think from week to week, especially at the start of the year. Like, a lot of those elevated events that start the year, I was like, right, I'm taking two of these guys at the top. But they're elite golfers to me, like Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm. I mean, Max Homer was playing elite golf at the start of the year. He's not now, but at the start of the year, he was playing elite golf. So I was very, you know, confident then to do that. This field is not strong, like you've mentioned, Nick. And I just think there's a number of players in the 9K range, in the 8K range, in the 7K range that can win this event this week. None of them guys to me scream elite at the minute. They are very good golfers, but none of them at the minute scream elite golfers, elite must play golfers to me this week. I would have interest in Justin Thomas in GPPs, but his ownership at the minute is coming in sky high, and I don't think I can play him at that high ownership when I've only seen it over two rounds in the last however many events that he's played. So that's a very risky play. But yeah, especially at that ownership. If he was coming around the Max Homer ownership, then I might have an interest in JT and GPPs. But I think I'm with you, Nick. Ricky Fowler for cash if you want to go that way. But that's it. I'm just going to completely fade it.
Let's talk about this 9K range then. So Tom Kim kicks us off at 9.8, Hideki Matsuyama 9.6, Sung Jae-im at 9.4, Cameron Davis 9.3, last week's winner Keegan Bradley at 9,200, and then sadly a withdrawal from Harris English at 9K. So that narrows down the selection process, though I wasn't really on Harris English anyway. Mark, I'll come to you first in this one. So 9K range, talk me through your pick.
Decky's number one in my model this week. I think he's going to be number one in lots of people's models, etc. His ownership's going to be sky high. So if you play him, you're going to find another way to get different. Probably one of Jack 66s or something like that in your lineup.
I've got a good one this week.
Yeah, he's been very consistent and stuff recently. So yeah, I don't know. You can't go wrong with him, but you know, you can't be that sure, can you? You could say that about John Rahm last week, but number one in my model.
Yeah, I like Hideki this week. Jack, is it the same story for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got two locks in this range already. I'm playing Tom Kim and I'm playing Hideki Matsuyama. Tom Kim ranks number one in my model this week. Someone that has found some form again. We've seen it now from two events back to back. He was 8th and 38th. He was 7th here last year. This is a golf course that should set up well for him. Every time Tom Kim has won on tour, those events have been very high scoring, around the 20 under mark or above that. So he can certainly get it done in the birdie fest. I do think driving distance is kind of important here, but at the same time, because of the wide fairways and things, I just think Tom Kim can get it done in other ways. And we kind of saw that last week at the Travelers on certain holes. He's number one in my model this week, Tom Kim, and I'm locking in the Decky for the same reasons as Mark. He's just green across the board, very consistent at the minute. There's a win coming for a Decky soon. I don't know when, but there's going to be one coming for him soon. And he started to gain strokes with the putting, which I like to see as well. So, and again, played this course 3 times in the last 3 years. Did miss the cut in 2021, but before that, 21st and 13th. So, yeah, these two, absolute locks for me. And it leaves you with a ton of salary. So you can do a ton if you lock these two in.
Yeah, like, again, Hideki, for me, is probably my favorite pick of, I mean, I know we're in the 9K range here, but probably favorite from any of these guys in the kind of top 10, top 12. Tom Kim, don't hate that either. Don't even mind Sung Jae this week, though.
Last week, didn't I? He didn't let us down last week.
Yeah, I don't mind him this week at all. That said, 3 missed cuts in the last 5. I just do still worry that he's playing a lot of golf. He's not missed. He's missed one tournament in June. He played 3 in May. He played 3 in April. Like, he's playing so much golf still. But this isn't a difficult track, so I don't mind Sung Jae this week. Consistent with the putter. But yeah, Hideki would be my pick, I think, in this range. What I like about Sung Jae is, looking at his ownership, actually, I don't like that at all. So, to be honest, if it came down to ownership, I'd just play Hideki. So,
I'd be interested to see if we can build a Kim, Hideki, and Sung Jae lineup.
You can.
Okay, that's good. Because Sung Jae, although you said about the missed cuts, he's actually had 3 top 10s in the last 8 as well, which is the most. So, he's got that upside, definitely, which I know we pulled him a plodder in the past, but he seems to have listened to us and sort of upped his game a bit in that respect. So,
I will quite happily go back to Keegan Bradley again as well this week. I know he won last week. I don't really care that he won because he's the type, I think he could go back-to-back and win again. He led the field in strokes gained putting last week. No surprise. Playing on the same surface as we were last week, where he won. Good history here, last 3 years. 44th last year, he was 14th in 2021. He's not really doing nothing wrong. Green across the board. So yeah, where does he rank in my model this week? Keegan Bradley's 12th in my model this week. I don't mind. You're getting a bit of an ownership discount on him, which I'm surprised as well, considering he won last week. I mean, this is Tuesday still, so I'll look at this again tomorrow. But I don't mind playing Keegan Bradley in GPPs this week. And if people are scared off of him because of that win last week.
His ball striking was elite last week.
Yeah.
To be fair, most of his game was really good.
He did try and throw it away down the stretch because I had a ticket on Patrick Cantlay, who decided that, no, he didn't want to win. So Keegan did his best, though, to throw it away. Tried to throw it away. But eventually, yeah, he came through eventually. He got a big enough lead, unfortunately for me.
How many tournaments has Keegan Bradley won in his career?
I heard this earlier. I think it was... It's not a lot. It's like Billy Horschel number. I think it's like 8. But
yeah,
they're all big events. Like he won really big events.
Also, how many of them have come after a cut the week before? I just have this feeling, just got nothing to back it up. I was just looking at that, you know, the screen then. I just feel he's one of those players who can just suddenly turn it on from nowhere.
Yeah.
So in that respect, you should probably play him every week.
When he won his first major, the PGA Championship, he won the Byron Nelson the week before. So he can go back to back.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like a little bit like Thiegler and Showdown. I feel like we should have Keegan as a every week play. Because he can just, even if it doesn't matter, form is a kind of irrelevant with him almost.
Yep.
Although he has been pretty consistent this year.
No, I like it. If that ownership stays where it is at the minute, he's a consideration for me for GPPs this week. I'll just lock three of them in. I'll play Tomkin, Matsuyama and Bradley together quite happily. I have no interest in Cam Davis either. That guy can do one.
No, I agree. I don't have interest there either.
Sorry, Mark.
It's all right. I don't represent Cam Davis, don't worry.
Let's have a look at the 8Ks then. So we've got Steven Jaeger. Is it Jaeger? Jaeger?
It's Jaeger Bombs.
Jaeger Bombs. So we've got some good nicknames on the go now, haven't we? Jaeger Bombs, Deagler.
That's not a nickname, that's his name.
Ah, that's his nickname now. Come on, he is going to be Deagler now. He's no longer Deagler.
Two glove, Ryan.
Two glove, yeah. Oh, man.
I won't say the other nickname I've got for him, but yeah.
So we've got Jaeger Bombs.
Agreed, Kev.
Brian Harman. We've got Aberg. We've got Smalley. We've got Kirk. Tom Hoge. We've got Straka. Benny Ann. Adam Hadwin. Austin Eckroat. So, some interesting ownership in this range. I'll come to you first on this one, Jack. 8Ks.
Adam Hadwin's my favourite at 8,100. He ranks 4th in my model this week. Where is he? Sorry, I'm just bringing him up here. So, yeah, very good on the approach over the last 12 rounds. He's in relatively good form. That 12th in Canada that he had. Good course history here with a 4th place finish in 2020. I just like him across the board. He's a steady sort of player, probably like break into the top 10 most definitely this week. So, yeah, I quite like him. And you're getting a bit of an ownership discount. All of these guys in this 8K range are sort of coming in low-owned, most of them, apart from Aberg. But most of these guys are coming in low-owned. Hadwin's my favourite. I did warn you all about Benny Ann last week, about him being injured, and he missed the cut. So I can't go back to him just yet. I don't think he's healthy. But I do love Benny Ann, but I can't play him.
He's like an ideal fit for this course because he's obviously a bomber off the tee. Not fantastic with a putter, but maybe doesn't need to be if you can absolutely rip it. Interesting on Aberg with his ownership is projected high at the moment, as is Austin Eckroat, who I spoke about in the in the FanDuel article last week as someone that I was just going back to because he's just played so consistently. And he comes in again last week with a T24 at the Travellers. I like what I'm seeing from him, but that ownership's a little bit this week. Compared to some of the others in the range, I don't like... I still don't hate it, but like Chris Kirk, maybe. I don't know, Mark. What's your
Jaeger bombs. This is a good fit for him as well. Sorry, Mark.
I was just about to ask you, Jack, if we were having shots this week because I was surprised you went with Hadwin rather than Jaeger bombs. Jaeger bombs. I like him. I also like Alex Smalley. I bet on him as well, and I've been saying I'm not going to play Yosnet Croat because of his ownership for a couple of weeks. But actually this week, I think I probably will play him because his consistency has just been brilliant. And this is a really inconsistent field. You know, I'm looking at my stats and stuff, my thing with my sort of made cuts and everything. And it's a really inconsistent field. So someone like an El Croat is kind of sticks out a bit. He's had three top 20s in the last eight as well. So, you know. He's got a chance, I think.
Yeah, I like Kirk as well, Kev. So he's coming off a few missed cuts though, which is a little bit worrying. But yeah, he has got very good course history here.
Yeah, agree with all that sentiment. I probably will just go back to Ekrot again this week, Mark. I agree with you, though he's one of the higher owned in this range. He's just playing really consistently. So I feel like just keep riding till the wheels come off.
Like we did with Trevor Werbelow, and then the wheels did come off.
Well, the wheels did come off. However, I don't think Trevor Werbelow ever got quite to the heady heights of being an 8K pick.
I'm still hurt, Nick. I'm still hurt that he's... Down at, he's minimum price this week. I'm not about this.
Yeah. 7Ks, as always. I am not reading out all of them.
Come on.
As always, I'm going to come to Mark first because you've left the scraps otherwise. So just give me one or two, Mark.
The best Cy Young in golf, Carson Young.
Yep.
Which I've been saying for so long now. It's like people are coming around to that. Yeah, he's great. He's sixth in my model, ninth in my course fit. His putting's good as well. Three top 20s in the last eight. So, yeah, that's sort of price. I just think he's massively underpriced when you look at the stats comparison with some of the players above him.
When you look at the field as well, I know he's playing.
I know. It's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, I like him. And going to be going back to Ches Reavie as well, I think, this week. I think we spoke about him last week, played him. Yeah. He definitely didn't let us down last week. My God.
He's been in the sexy sixers for the last three or four weeks, I tell you.
Yeah.
And he's made the cut every time.
And he's not going to be in them this week because he's 7-2.
They finally priced him up.
Yeah. Yeah, just riding him until the wheels come off again, really.
Jack, 7K, talk us through it.
Well, Mark's mentioned my favourite guy, which is Carson Young. I do like Carson Young, so I won't go there. I like Justin Sir. Justin Sir ranks number one in strokes gained putting over the last 12 rounds from this field. Very good run of form at the minute. 56th last week, 27th week before. But, you know, he's just very consistent at the minute, making cuts. 16th at the Charles Schwab a few weeks back as well. Green across the board, very good off the tee, accurate off the tee, sort of middle of the road for the driving distance. So yeah, I like Justin Sir. Seabez burnt me last week, but I might go back again. He really did burn me.
Jack, I knew you were going to be saying exactly that this week. We've been doing enough of these.
JJ Spawn's interesting to me. I mean, he's not really going to pop in any models because the form's been a bit up and down at times this year, but very good course history here. He was eighth last year. He's made the cut the last 4 years. He's finished no worse than tied 32nd over the last 4 years. JJ Spawn's one of them guys that we know can get it done when the scoring conditions get higher to these like 20 unders and things like that. So, yep, I do like him. He's drawing the ownership, though, which is a bit weird. I'll go back to Mark Hubbard. He ranks inside the top 10 of my model. Very good inside the top five here on strokes gained on approach this from this field. Burned people last week, including me, missed the cut. But before that, 6th, 30th and 9th. Has played here before as well. He got tied 12th in 2020, so he's seen this place before. But yeah, quite happy to go back to him. Hopefully the ownership comes down on him because he burned people last week. Doug Gim I like as well. Making loads of cuts recently, 15th last week, 12th in Canada, 19th at the Byron Nelson, which, you know, you could use that as a comp because that was very high scoring. 32nd here in 2021, like I say, green across the board. So, yeah, I don't mind going back to him. Nick, do you want to say anyone before I keep reading off names?
Trying to think who you've not mentioned who I like the look of. Thomas Dietrich, I don't mind.
Oh, he burned me last week as well.
I have no bias there, so I don't mind that. Højgaard missed his last couple of cuts, but he is a boomer. And the areas of his game where he's lost strokes recently, prior to that, he was on quite a consistent run, especially like his approach play, his ball striking. So, again, I don't know whether to read too much into that. It is an easy course this week. So, like, even if he's struggling a bit off the tee, like, I don't think it'll be as much of an issue. He does hit it a mile. Other than that, I like the Chez Reavie show. I don't really.
I'll give you a couple more just down there. I won't go into detail, but I like where is he? Bartia, fourth in Mexico, which was high scoring. We said Carson Young, Kevin Yu, I like as well. 49th last week, played really well. Pat Kaziri is one of the guys that can boom bust. He's a bit of a bomber off the tee at times as well, so I don't mind Pat Kaziri for sort of GPPs. Yes, Jack is going to probably play Cameron Champ because Jack has a really dodgy problem with Cameron Champ. And you know, but he was 8th in Mexico earlier on in the year, which again, high scoring. You know, the thing is with Cameron Champ, he can win. So, but you know, he's going to miss 100 cuts before he wins. That's the problem. Will Gordon was popping in my model. He ranks inside the top 10, 18th 2 weeks ago, wherever that was. I can't really see that at the minute here. But yeah, there's a load of guys in this range. This is where I think you can get different this week in the 7K range. Most definitely. There's a few guys that are going to be high owned, but there's certainly a lot of pivots you can go to in this range. Kev, do we like Matt Wallace and Stall? No, I do not like Matt Wallace. I've said about Matt Wallace before. He's got that win this season and he just sort of shuts up shop after that. So no Matt Wallace for me. What about you two?
Not for me.
Red Hour either.
Which obviously means a win now.
Yeah. Go and bet him. Go and bet him, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, we've thrown a lot of names out there. But yeah, don't mind that. Don't mind Dylan Wu either.
I think the ship has sailed. And that does make me sad.
I don't know. I know he missed the cut last week, but
he's still made a lot of cuts.
He made the cut at the US Open and at the Canadian Open, so I'm clinging on to a little bit of hope. He lost strokes on approach last week, which he's not lost strokes on approach since Valspar, so maybe it was just an off week, but yeah, I mean, down at this price, could be anyone. There are others that I would pick above him, though, if I'm being honest. 6Ks then. I know that there's a few in this range, Jack. I know we don't spend long on the 6Ks, but there's a couple that you really like this week.
I mean, I wouldn't say really like.
Whoa.
That's
not what you said earlier.
I said I found the gem. Yeah, I'm going to give it out then. All right. Kevin Roy, 6.1K. Top three in strokes game putting over the last 12 rounds. Boomer off the tee, ranks inside the top 10 in driving distance in this field over the last 12 rounds. Where was it? It was in Canada, wasn't it? I said about him. Not Canada, Mexico, sorry. He finished tied 18th in Mexico, which was a high-scoring event as well, so he clearly likes this sort of event. Yeah, it was 6.1K. I think you could do a lot worse than someone like that in this field.
Big shout. Mark, have you anyone in this 6K range?
Nobody I'm particularly excited about. I mean, Kevin Roy actually does rank higher in my puddle than he should for his price, as I discussed. I didn't even notice it. Spaceman Sam Ryder is, you know, on fire with his putter, so there you go. He's in he's probably in that. I mean, I've seen lots of names mentioned, players like how things is like Trey, if you're looking for the distance, Trey Mullinax, 7, 6, 7. He's currently 10th of my distance rankings. But nobody I particularly want to hang my hat on. Vincent Norman's ranking quite highly in my model, but he's missed three of his last four cuts. But he was in great form before then, so I'm a bit unsure about him at the moment.
Troy Merritt, actually, there. Kev just keeps mentioning him. I mean, he's got about 1,000 missed cuts as of late, but he's caused history here. 14th last year, 2nd the year before, and 8th the year before that. Clearly likes this golf course. This might be the week.
Could be. Who was it that mentioned Taran? Quite like Taran this week.
Yeah, I like Taran. Taran is a boom bust guy. He'll really spike. It was from week to week. He's a great showdown play, put it that way. It's very good. Like, he's made a lot of cuts recently. He was 20th here last year as well. So yeah, I do like Callum Taran.
Let's start building some lineups. So, let's have a look at that 3-9K lineup first of all. See if we can throw something together. So Hideki, Bradley, Kim. Leaves us with quite a generous amount on the table still, to be fair. So let's come down a little bit.
Who was the one we liked? We liked Thingy at 6-9, didn't we? Taran.
Count Taran 6-9.
That's the only 6K guy I want to try and get in. If we can get a low 7.
So Chez Reavie can slot in.
70, yeah.
How much is Chez Reavie?
Then you've got 70. Carson Young. You can still put Carson Young in.
Yeah.
Carson Young at 7K. There
it's
we
a pretty
go.
Decent lineup, that.
Not bad.
Yeah,
that's not bad. If you did what, I mean, Chez Reavie could easily be. Did you mention Spawn, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I would personally pivot off of Reavie in that lineup and go to, because you're already playing a lot of the chalk at the top and Reavie's going to be chalk down the bottom. So I would probably pivot off of Reavie. You could go to Spawn if you wanted to go higher up, but I'd probably just go down the board a bit and probably go to Bartier at the flat 7K, because he's not drawing a lot of ownership at the minute. And I know he's a golfer that can get it done on these high scoring events. So, and then then you can start messing around with it other ways if you wanted to then.
Yeah. You wouldn't even necessarily need to put Taran in that lineup if you don't want, because we've left 500 on the table there. So
no, I like Taran, to be honest. Who's the other guy you left in there? Carson Young. I'd probably pivot off Carson Young because the ownership down the bottom and then come up. But that's just me.
I think it'd be all right. As soon as you've got those 3-9s in, I think although they've got quite high ownership, I don't think many people can play all three of them together. I think people will go higher. I think you're going to... The 110K play... I think the 110K play is going to be the most common construction. So, you know, But equally, I would like to play that sort of top three with a whole host of other, you know, 20 lineups, just those top three. And then,
if you're putting that in 20 times, you could lock in those three 9K guys, Kim, Matsuyama and Bradley, for instance, in all 20 lineups, and then just use every single player in the 7K pool if you wanted to. You could do something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's have a little look at something a little more balanced across the board, then dipping into a couple of different pools. Maybe a Fowler lineup or a JT lineup, maybe.
Do Fowler. Mark's wanted to try and do 2 10Ks.
You can do two. I think you can do two if you put in Thomas now. You're 7-4 already. So you can actually go, if you're going to play some sexy sixes, you could actually go quite high with your third one.
You could stick Kevin Roy in.
You could. This is asking for it, isn't it, this lineup?
Kevin Roy gives us a lot more. So Kevin Roy, I mean, if you want to throw in, say, a Carson Young, we're up in the eights.
Yeah.
Then you've got Ekrote. You can put Ekrote in if you wanted.
Ekrote could go in. And then you've got 8.5 still on the table. So I know you liked Adwin.
Adwin, yeah.
Well, you got left 8.5.
Yeah.
Which... So you could get to Kirk, which is not a bad play. We've said about Kirk here. Yeah, I mean, it'd be Kirk or Hadwin for me.
Yeah, Kirk or Hadwin. I think you could either of them. And that's, again, not a bad lineup, really.
No, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're relying on Roy coming top 40, I think, really.
Oh, most definitely. But if he does.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, could do. Shall we build one more, fellas?
Yeah, if you want to. Do you want to try and do like an all 8K lineup? I'd like to do something with the 8Ks. I don't
know. Oh, let's have a look. So I'm going to throw Jaeger Bombs in there.
Aberg.
Hadwin, Aberg, Ekro. Wow, this is super 8K. We come down to the sevens.
Do you want to keep? I mean, it's close.
8Ks.
The only thing with that, it leaves me on a range that I don't even like in the 8Ks.
Yeah.
What if we threw in a 9K play? So
you could stick in anyone. Stick in Sungjae.
So we'll put Sungjae in. 6'9", Taron.
Okay. Yeah, Taron. It's not bad, is it?
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
That's five there where I would say I would be fairly confident that they're making the cut.
I might play the 20 max this week and just lock in those three that we said and then see what happens.
Mm. Yeah, don't hate that at all. Like that. Yep. Some good lineups built there. Any parting comments, fellas?
Newsletter will be out tomorrow, as usual. All the good stuff, tea times, course preview, weather, my course, strategy plan, Mark's Cupmakers, the sexy sixers, the lot, bets, you name it, it's all in there. It's completely free at the moment. It won't be for long, but it is at the moment. But yeah, that'll be out tomorrow. Listener League's already open. Once DraftKings finally get their act together and open up, some DP World Tour stuff, I'll get a British Masters open as well. But
they opened up just before we came on, just literally perfect. Before we came on.
Perfect. So I will get that set up after this, and I'll get all the links sent out and all that good stuff. But yeah, get involved. This would be good fun. Good fun this week. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm off to live golf next week as well. So even better.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Big weekend of golf. Anything from you, Mark?
No, all fine. Just everything Jack says about newsletter, Cisco. It's just
rinse and
it's
repeat.
Just money. It's just money. It's just money. It really is.
It is.
It really is.
If you play the right contest, the thing is, you have to use the newsletter right and use the show right. If you do both, you're just going to make money. So,
yeah, the stuff we've been doing recently about roster construction as well and stuff, you don't particularly see many people talking about that you know, with golf, it's just they try and pick the six best golfers in the range and stuff. And yeah, corrosive construction is so important. And I think we're smashing out at the moment.
Nice, I would agree. Right, well, nothing more to say, is there? Other than thanks for listening or watching, and we will see you next Tuesday. Enjoy the golf.